Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club, the show where we do what, Bryce?
Talk to amazing guests about their stories of high strangeness.
Oh, nailed boy. I mean.
Kind of.
Yeah, like, no, that's nailing
it. I'm going to be by this.
That's I Bryce mean, Johnson nailing it.
Literally 165 episodes in the show.
And hey, you just caught proven... me off guard. I wasn't expecting
he
that.
Just combined the two answers. He went for an all of the above.
You know? You should know it by now. I can do it in my sleep.
Can you?
It's a story podcast where we share stories.
There you go.
You so threw me off. There. We talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson.
And our super producer,
Riley Bray.
Guys, first of all, I'm going to apologize in advance to our amazing guest because Bryce Johnson dropped some heavy news on me and Riley mere moments before we recorded this podcast. If you are a Patreon subscriber on the other side, Bigfoot Collectors Club / patreon.com/ now you've thrown me off. Look, I'm so excited.
This is what you get.
This is what happened. Bryce, I want to cut right to the chase. What did you find tonight?
Well, I was cleaning out my attic and I came, as one does post-pandemic, and I came across an old box of reels and tapes. And when I say tapes, I'm talking VHS, baby. And I sent Michael a picture and Riley a picture of a certain VHS tape, to which Riley responded, "Oh, shit." And Michael responded, "I almost choked on my bread. Can I post this on Instagram? I have a VCR." I love this. Honestly, guys, this is so great. I feel like the pandemic just ended, said Michael. Well, I'm talking about none other than Bryce's Club Bryce on E Celebrity Homes.
Yes.
Oh my God. The Holy Grail has
yeah,
been found.
Yeah. The Holy Grail of VHS tape. Now, this is before MTV Cribs even had their show. So this was like the OG E Entertainment Celebrity Homes and a little featurette on a certain apartment in a certain Hollywood Hills apartment complex. It's Club Bryce on E Celebrity Homes.
The original source of all the Club Bryce talk on this podcast and on the other side, patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club, has now been found. And I don't know what we're going to do with it. I know I have a VCR, so I feel like you guys are coming over and we're watching this.
Yeah, I'm a little scared. I've seen it before.
I cannot wait to see
it. It's cringeworthy, but
guys,
so good.
Bryce, for those of you who are not Patreon subscribers, Bryce once had an apartment in Hollywood that he called Club Bryce, where his friends would come over and listen to music and dance. And then also he had a wall of dolls that he modeled after all of his friends, which is something we didn't learn.
You'll get to see that. You'll get to see the doll case.
It's in and, this episode. Bryce allowed this to be filmed in his apartment. And now
I'll
we
this
have
story.
The-
yeah.
This, oh my God. The thing that's amazing is this episode was never digitized.
No.
And so I've been searching high and low for this for 2 years. I've been bugging Bryce, get that tape. Those
this
of you
is the
who've
only
been asking
copy
us,
on planet Earth.
When is the Club Bryce video going to be released? Well, guess what, motherfuckers? We've been holding out for footage like this. So you have to wait a little bit longer. But we are going to take a look at this artifact and we will update you. We got to
digitize it. I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you exactly.
Mark my words, or I'm not a super producer. I am digitizing that footage.
Guys, guaranteed. I just want to say the next best thing to the treasure of Oak Island has been found. I am So excited. I have to remember we're doing a show. We can't talk about it. If you want to talk about if you want to support the show, join us. Join us over there. Bigfoot Collectors Club, the other side at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. You will get 3 to 5 bonus episodes every month. You can also check out our merch shop and our link tree on our Instagram at Bigfoot Collectors Club or our Twitter, Bigfoot Pod. And then also, of course, I failed to mention, we're doing Wet Hot American Summer. I said it again. Wet Hot Alien Summer 2 Summer Abduction. And we have just dropped so much merch over there. You guys got to go check it out. If you want to support the show, but don't want any awesome apparel or extra content, you can do so at our homepage at buymeacoffee.com. Throw a couple bucks in the Bigfoot tip jar. That's also in our link tree. And then finally, if you want to support the show for free, just good old-fashioned activism, go to Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star review. If you do, we might read it on the air just like this one. And remember, guys, we're trying to get to 1,000 5-star reviews so that we can record the Bigfoot Collectors Club jet ski special. That's right.
It starts with a dream.
That's right.
It starts with a dream. I'm getting a little choked up because, well, we'll talk about it. Let's read this 5-star review first. This is literally called Jet Ski Special 5 stars by Dr. Hendo. Please leave a 5-star review so we can get the jet ski special. I'm begging you, dear reader. You don't have to listen just to leave a review. This is where we get to.
Nice.
If you've read this.
Story of my life.
Don't know what the jet ski special is and you aren't still convinced to listen, then you must listen to this podcast because you need a big dose of the far out frivolity only the BCC can deliver. Far out frivolity is amazing. Thank you, Dr. Hendo. Yeah. Wow. I want to let you guys know something. We have not only are you guys not showing up for this 5-star review situation, for the first time in podcast history, we have dipped from 5-star average to a 4.8 average.
Ooh.
Who are the trolls trying to destroy us? Guys, you have to beat back the darkness. Give us those 5-star reviews. We only have 629. It's going in the opposite order, you guys.
Oh, no.
It's bad.
Backfiring on us.
This is backfiring. All right. Think about that, listeners, as we introduce today's amazing guest. She's an actor. She's a writer. She's a comedic performer. You know her from One Day at a Time, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Who else has been on that show? Nobody. And my favorite movie from last year, Greener Grass. Club Scouts of all timelines, please welcome to the podcast, Santina Muha. Oh, Santina!
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Thank you for waiting patiently during that. We had some real clubhouse business to take care of.
Yeah, it sounds intense. I'm excited.
This videotape, you don't understand. This is like, I've not looked. This is like, I'm more excited for this than I was the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Did you ever watch MTV Cribs or E! Celebrity Homes?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Was there a house that left an impression on you? And was it
Mariah Carey? I don't know if it was her house, but just Mariah, just
her island.
Just the way she just presented it was, you know, it was just she's a diva, as they say. And she had some kind of a shoe closet situation that was goals for me. But yeah, I mean, listen, all of them were. I also liked Pimp My Ride. All of those cars were really cool,
love
too.
Love that show. Yeah.
Pimp My Ride was like, I remember my brother-in-law and I'm recording from his studio in, I'm out of town. I'm in Kansas City. Don't rob my apartment, please. I remember like one of our early bonding experiences was watching Pimp My Ride together. I feel like that show had legs. Why isn't it on today?
I know.
That show was so golden. For those of you who haven't seen it, it was hosted by Exhibit, and they would pick some person who had a dumper of a car, a real lemon, and they would take it to this, I think it was West Coast Custom Shop, and they would
Bryce,
just
you've never sounded more
out.
Like an old dad by saying a real lemon.
It was with X to the Z, and
I'm not talking about Jack Lemmon, my favorite actor.
Oh man, but I loved it, man. They made those cars so cool.
Yeah, they put like hot tubs in them and fur, and I mean, like stuff you'd dream of, really.
Yeah,
yeah. Barbie,
I used to have a cool car, not anymore.
Oh boy.
Bryce, had to get one you could put babies. Had to get one you could put baby seats in. It just
minivan life.
Can't haul kids around, and you know, got to grow up at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
So speaking of growing up, Santina, where are you from, and what, as we like to ask all of our guests, is your personal paranormal history? Any weird stories from your hometown? Any ghosts you saw as a kid? Any strange lights you saw in the sky?
Have you ever seen Bigfoot?
That would be great.
I wish. I am from New Jersey. And, you know, I am here for all of it. Like, I was a big fan of the Loch Ness Monster growing up. I was really, really sad about that guy's deathbed, you know, revelation that he staged that most famous photo that really upset me.
The surgeon photo.
Yeah, the surgeon photo, the little toy submarine.
I was very upset about that. Yeah. Never saw Bigfoot, but I do see ghosts. And I don't say did. I do. I do have a connection to the other side when it comes to ghosts. Oh, yeah. All the time. And sometimes, you know, I have like, they seem to like me. It seems to be good ghosts, people who want to come and send messages to their, you know, like I slept over a cousin's house one time. And in my dream, I woke up, got out of bed, went downstairs, saw a woman in the rocking chair in their living room.
What?
So then the morning I was telling them about the dream, and it turns out it was my cousin's fiance who was there. His mother had just passed away, and I described her to the T, and she, you know, she was there. So, and that's like not uncommon for me to get messages from the other side, but I'm not good at it. Like I could never really, at this point in my life, it's not like I could charge somebody for it, or I could, you know, you could like come to me and say, hey, what is this person? I don't know. It's like, it just has to come to me. I can't seek it out. I haven't honed my craft just yet, but
Saints,
I have been.
You're like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
This is one of those. This is one of those wonderful surprises where a guest is literally like bubbling over with like, the offhand story that I have is that I saw the ghost of a person's, you know, grandmother, but that's like, you know, whatever, just brushing it aside. Like we could make a meal out of that entire story that you just rushed past.
Yeah, no, but because there's just so many of them. And, you know, even like I knew the day my grandfather was going to die. I knew the day my grandmother was going to die because I saw my grandfather go into the room, into her hospital room.
Wait,
and
what?
Yeah, he had already passed. And then she was in the hospital room and I saw him go in the room. And at first I got like happy, like, you know, I saw him and I said, oh, no, no, I'm Italian, right? So no, that's right. I went, oh, no, no. And then I got like a sinking. I went, oh, no, because I knew what it meant. I knew he was coming. And she passed the next day. So stuff like that. But here's the thing. I died when I was almost six years old. I had a very serious car accident and I died. And I came back and I had the whole thing, the out of body. I saw myself not from inside the car from the back seat, but from outside of the car looking in the windshield. And I saw everyone who was in the car. And then I had a crossing over moment where I wanted to stay in this, you know, place that seemed very calming and familiar. And I was told by a figure it was not my time. It's like all the very stereotypical
stuff.
That's
classic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all classic. Wow. And it's not your time. You still have stuff to do. And I was given this, you know, message and given this, you know, some whatever, lifelong purpose. And
you describe this as if it's the least important information you've ever been given. Whatever. I mean, this guy at the end of the lights told me something, don't really remember. I died, but it's fine. Like, our listeners' minds are being blown and telling us to go back. Wait, what? No, but please.
Truly, it happened so long ago, and I'm just so sure of it happening. And the other thing that's cool about it is I have no desire to convince anyone that this is true. If I tell somebody this and they don't believe me, I'm like, okay, that's fine. You'll see. You know, it's like if somebody told me Target wasn't real, I'd be like, well, I've been there. I've seen it. It's real. You'll go there one day. You'll see. It's like, I'm not going to force somebody to believe it. I know it's real. What's the point? So, it's like a nice little calm little feeling I have inside that there's way bigger stuff going on.
That's so amazing. I mean, I love the for sureness of it too. Cause I mean, that's how it must feel, right? There's nothing more real than that experience of being outside yourself and that there's more beyond this world. That's incredible. That's so encouraging.
I know what I saw, and I was not even 6 years old. So it's not like I had already watched, you know, whatever movie or read Embraced by the Light. I didn't absorb any of that information yet.
Have you read those? It sounds like you've read those books since, and to get more information about that. Is that right? Or
yeah, I've read parts of that book, or I've watched that show, I Survived Death, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And it's always like, yeah, I'm always like, mm-hmm, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what happened. You know, like that. It's always very affirming for me.
Wow, I had no idea you had that experience.
You know, and my nonna, by the way, my mom's mom from Sicily, she also was very in tune with the other side. And she has all these crazy stories about things like an angel telling her to postpone her wedding by 2 weeks. And she didn't. And then the day they got back from their honeymoon, he went back to work and he got electrocuted and died. And had they pushed the wedding, they would have still been on their honeymoon, things like that. So, and they say that, you know, especially, I think it's like a Sicilian woman, like there's like a Sicilian witchiness that's runs in our blood or something, not, you know, angel, witch, whatever. It's all, you know, however you want to, but it's all good. It's all good energy, you know, white light, blah, blah, blah.
So I want to walk back just a minute. You were talking about camera angles in this near death experience,
yes,
or death experience where you're like, I was outside the car. I saw my whole family. Now look, if any of this is stuff that's well trodden or stuff you don't want to go back over, say, yeah, I'm not that interested in that. Let's talk about something else. But that really struck me because I think it's very rare for a show where we talk about the other side so much that we actually get to talk to somebody who's so, like Bryce said, self-assured about what's on the other side. Can you talk a little bit about the perspective or that camera angle of that experience?
Yeah, so I was in the back seat and my mom was in the driver's side. It wasn't her fault, by the way, for the accident. It was a 3-car crash and we got caught up in the middle. But and then my nonna was in the passenger seat. So the three of us, three generations of Italian women in the car.
Wow.
And this happened in New Jersey over the Brielle Bridge. And we got involved in this 3-car accident. And rather than... So my mom, she was facing forward, and my nonna, she turned her head back and looked at me. Now, instead of seeing my nonna's face and the back of my mom's head, I sort of vacuumed out of the car and could see my mom's face and the back of my nonna's head. You get what I'm saying? Because she was looking behind her. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And then from, and I saw myself, my cute little crumpled little body, because I had passed out and upon impact. And then the next thing I remember is, again, sort of like when I say vacuuming, do you know what I mean? Like sort of just like zoosh,
sucked
and now
down.
I'm
sucked
in,
out.
Yes. And now I'm in another place, which was this vast. And again, it sounds so stereotypical, but it's just like
No. Don't apologize. Like, it's all good. We trust us. We're good with stereotypes. We're good with all this stuff. Yeah.
Well, it was like clouds, like when you go to the beach and you look at the sky, like, or you look at the ocean, like that far clouds, you know, like never ending, and silhouettes dancing in the back. And I wanted to go in there. I knew the silhouettes. I knew them. I was familiar with them. They were my people. I wanted to be with them. And
even
then,
at 6 years old, you were like, yeah. I know my people when I see them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. I'm home. Like, here I am. We're home. Like that kind of when you get home feeling. And then a figure came and it was like, it's a man. It was in the shape of a man, but not necessarily.
You're like, unfortunately, he was a cis white male.
And he was. I'm sorry. But also, but you know, like, I did go to church with my nonna a lot. So right. I'm sure I did pick up a few things like along the way through osmosis as I slept on her lap during every, you know. But I saw these like David, Peter, all these guys were men, right? So one of them, probably Peter, right? I think Peter works at the gate. Whoever this was, he floated in front of me on the other side of this gate. Again, stereotypes, but he floated on the other side of the gate. And it was a big, huge gate, golden. And he looked at me and I was like, okay, like I wanted to come in. And he stopped and he shook his head three times, like, no. And without any words, we had this whole conversation about, you still have things to do. You're going to go back. It's going to be different. Don't be scared, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's what you have to do. And then I was paralyzed in that car accident and I was in a wheelchair. I'm in a wheelchair, you know, still. And so it was different when I went back, but as much as I was afraid and had to relearn things, I had this sort of thing in the back of my mind that it's going to be okay. This is what was supposed to happen. Wow. And I always have.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wow.
Santina.
So it's like you're living on borrowed time.
Yeah. It's, but I mean, yeah.
Well, in a sense, it's like you have Michael's like, but maybe that's not the proper
well,
phrasing.
She just
but
told
like,
us she went back for a mission and you're like, it's borrowed time. It's like,
no,
well,
it's like,
back.
I guess second chance. You know what I mean? It's all bonus. It's all bonus.
I do too.
You know?
I do too. Honestly, my mind is blown by this story. And
it's amazing too. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's cool. And then because of that, I feel like and I forgot to tell you guys this. A few months before the accident, I told my mom, I don't want to get in a car accident.
Oh,
shit.
Whoa.
I know.
Even before that, then, it sounds like you've been pretty sensitive to this stuff the other side.
Yeah. Absolutely. That was, I want to, that's actually where I want to go. But one question I have, Santina, is we've been doing this show for 164 episodes now and more. And one of the things that comes up a lot with people who either have a near-death experience, a death experience, or get a peek at the other side, they tend to say, where I was more real than here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We are in as stereotypical as was, that's great for us. We are cool with that. We don't judge. Like when you say, I saw the clouds and there were gates and there were silhouettes dancing and this guy came to me and said this stuff. Did it? And I'm sorry if I'm like zooming in on a microcosm of your experience here as a researcher, but what was the difference between that reality and the reality that we're in right now, if any?
Well, like one is like that they were silhouettes. I think that's probably, you know, like you couldn't judge people based on any sort of differences because everyone was sort of just the same. They were all just silhouettes. So everyone, like this, our souls are basically the same shape, you know? Mm-hmm. So we couldn't say like, oh, that person's this and that person's that. And this, you know, it was like, we were all the same. And then like I said, we had a whole conversation without words. So, you know, you can just kind of, my understanding is you're whoever you're with or around, you feel what they want to tell you, and there's no misunderstanding or anything like that, because you can feel their intention and what they're trying to say. So it's all like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, feelings. That's what that's saying. You see what I mean? It's like, you don't need time to express words and feelings. It's like, it comes in just experience and images, you know?
That's right. And yeah, time is definitely not a thing either.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any, I mean, by the way, we're done with the show. Everyone, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, we've proven there's life after death. Like, we're done. We're done here. I guess we still have to solve Bigfoot and aliens, but, you know, we're firm believers on the other side here, obviously.
Yeah, but we proved ghosts on this podcast, and I think now we just proved the afterlife. So, pretty good stuff.
Making progress, yeah.
So,
thanks for your help.
Where did you? It does seem like on top of this experience, you come from some line of sensitivity. Where do you have memories before, and then what have you experienced after?
Before and after what?
Well, before and after this conversation with the other side, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, before, like I said, I just had said. Well, I also knew that was. I had a dream that day about the car accident that morning. I went and running into my grandmother's room that morning, and I had a dream that I fell in a hole and my Nonna fell in a hole, and I got out, but my legs were hurt, and she got out, but her arm was hurt. And then she hurt her arm in the accident, and I hurt my legs. So obviously I was very in tune with everything there. And then I don't know, like also I called my best friend a few years ago and I was like, are you pregnant? And her husband was like, what the hell, Jed? We weren't telling anybody. And she's like, I did it. So I have like a weird, I did it to my friend the other day on the phone too. I was like, are you pregnant? She's like, I hate you. So I have like a weird, I have a weird pregnancy. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. But it's just, there's like almost too many stories to even go.
Yeah, I feel like this is a, in terms of in touch with the other side, this is, you know, a very my cup runneth over situation. Where is there like one that jumps out at you that you're like, okay, I got a wild story for you guys. I got all these others, but here's one. I mean, not that you just didn't drop one on our head, but is there one involving a friend or something that you are like, this one was wild?
There was one time that freaked me out more than any, where I went to my friend's 4th of July party in Philly, and we were sleeping over for the night. And so everyone from the party had left, except for those of us who were sleeping over, except for this one guy who was still up in the house. And I said, who's still here? I thought everyone left. And the guy's like, no, everyone did leave. But I saw the guy. He was looking down from the window. And I hadn't been in his house yet. And then we went into the house like an hour or so later. And I saw a picture of this guy. And I said, oh, this is who was here. Where he was, but I didn't meet him. Where is he? And he was like, that's not, like, are you joking? Like, that's my brother who killed himself in our room. And it was the room where I saw him. So that one really freaked me out because I was like, I don't want to sleep. I was freaked. I didn't want to sleep in the house, but I did because I made my friend sleep in bed with me. But again, it wasn't like a mean, I try to avoid mean spirits, or it's usually good intentions that come my way. I hope I please God.
Have you ever thought of working on some of these, I guess, muscles or skills or gifts, for lack of a better word, that you have and just sort of exploring them more? Or have you always sort of just been like, it comes and it goes, and I just go about my life? And you know, I mean, what's your attitude towards these gifts that you have?
Yeah, both. I feel like sometimes I've thought about maybe if I could try to figure out how to, you know, do this stuff on command, but then I also feel like a trust that the universe or whatever it is giving me these messages when they're supposed to happen. So I'm kind of afraid to push it because I don't want to start doing like what Whoopi Goldberg, because when she was talking to Patrick Swayze, that was fine. But then she started kicking up all those other people and then all these demons were coming in and I'm like, nah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. And I don't know if that's what's the deal with that stuff. And I kind of don't want to know what's the deal with those. But, you know, as far as like angels go and just connections with people on the other side, whether they've been here all, you know, whether they're not born yet or whether they have been here and left, or I don't know. It's just a weird, it's all feelings based. It's so hard to articulate too, you know?
No, I think you're doing a great job at it. It sounds like too, though, that you also recognize that there is sort of a polarity in those energies. I mean, there's obviously good and light and angels, but there's also, you know, maybe something else of its opposite. Would you say that that's true, or do you recognize that? Or
I don't know. It seems like there's something, some opposite forces out there, but I don't know, like how they. I don't know. I don't know how they were. For me, I can watch a movie like Saw or something like that, or you know, a movie about a. You know, a serial killer. You know, I love all. You know, I'm a woman in her 30s.
Gotta have your true crime. Yeah,
I watch true crime all day. But when you start, but like The Conjuring or something. Oh no, I'm not. I can't watch it. I'm not watching it. Freaks me out. Yeah, because that's like to me almost more like realistic than someone you know breaking in and kidnapping me, which obviously is. Technically more realistic if you think about it, but not to me. I'm like
I'm with you 100%. There's dark energies out there. I don't understand them. I don't want to understand them, and it's just
and I think they get excited when I think when you start poking around they're like, ooh, you want to know about me, and it's like no, I don't want to know.
Right.
They love negative attention. These dark spirits are like, I knocked over a vase full of water. What are you going to yell at me about? You know what I mean? They love it.
Yeah. But I went to that house or the hotel where Stephen King wrote The Shining and
The Overlook.
And I was like, and I definitely was like, let's go. And I like pointed out some stuff I knew, you know, before we were on this little tour and I was like, that room bad. And then they were like, okay, that's the room where, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yep. So it's there. It's there.
Wow.
So what Santina, do you want to come co-host this show? Because I feel like we need
a job on a podcast.
Much more qualified.
100 more episodes with you. Like, I apologize to you and the listeners. We're barely going to scratch the surface here. So you'll eventually have to come back. And honestly, if you want to come host a show with us, great. What do you, if you were, because it's very rare that we have someone who has, not only the perspective that you have, the experience you have and everything, if you were to be like, here's what I think, this is a big question, by the way. If you were to be like, here's what I think is going on with the universe and reality. Like, here's what I think it is. Like, do you have an overarching model of reality that you tend to work with?
I kind of think that it's sort of almost like a big high school where, you know, some people, you know, like you've heard of like an old spirit or, you know, like something like that, where someone's like someone's been around longer than someone else. Like, I think that I'm older than my mom, for example, in the world. And I think that, you know, each time that we're here, we're learning new lessons and different lessons and different levels of lessons. And then we sort of move up and move up and move up. And I don't know what's the ultimate goal and I'm not sure, like, I don't know if I come back next time as another person, or do I come back as a sea turtle, or, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure about how that kind of stuff works, but I do think like an old soul was the word I was looking for before. I think there are old souls and you know, when like you see somebody and you swear, you know, them, like you just like feel comfortable with them right away. I do believe that you probably had some sort of relationship with that person in another time period, or maybe on another plane and another realm or something like that. But I just think there's a lot of layers, you know, there's more layers than we're capable of seeing or, you know, feeling. in this experience that we're having.
Well put.
Do you have someone that you mentioned, your mom, maybe being an older soul than your mother? Is it her, or is there somebody in your life that you're like, oh, I knew that person in a past lifetime?
There's so many. And some of them are like my Nonna, for example, but other them are crazy. Like Luke Perry, I'm positive. I know.
Incredible. That's
Let's
amazing.
Get into this. Let's okay, go oh, there.
Wait, I you're... see a book title coming.
No, I am. I actually am
Santina,
writing a book.
Just when I thought you couldn't blow my mind anymore.
No, this is a good story because, okay, watch. So I always grew up like loving, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 was my favorite show of all time. And Luke Perry was my number one. I know that's not unique to me, you know, that a girl who grew up in the 90s loved Luke Perry, but I just knew that I just loved him. I loved him, and I was remained loyal to him through the Justin Timberlakes and, you know, through the Jonathan Taylor Thomases. I loved them all, but Luke was my main man forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And once I moved to LA, I was, you know, I thought, okay, I can't wait for sure I'm going to meet him. And I never ran into him. And I'm like, how's this possible? It's not like he's, no offense, but it's not like he's, you know, Madonna or something. It's like, he's got to be around at a bar or something, right? I never ran into him. So then I was in the hospital 5 years ago for this thing, and a friend of mine had the same manager as Luke. So she sent him this message saying, his manager saying, my friend loves Luke Perry more than anything. If he would like call her or visit her, she would freak out. So he visited me in the hospital.
No.
Yes, he was great. He was a great guy. So he visited me in the hospital. We had this like long, fun conversation. We talked about all kinds of stuff after I, you know, cried my eyes out and pulled myself together, obviously. So, because I was shocked. I didn't know he was coming. She didn't tell me any of this. I didn't know anything. He just walked in my door and was like, excuse me, but are you Santina Muha? And I was like, whoa, you know, all my dreams came true in that one. I mean, best day of my life. I was in a hospital.
And never met him before?
Wow.
Never met him before. Never.
What a stud.
Wow.
Never. So he comes in, he does that, we talk. So then that's all great. And I'm like, you know, and I just know, and I'm like, I knew, like, I felt that chemistry. I felt the connection. Great. So then, like, I don't know, however many hours later, I start writing about it in my journal, and my phone rings, and it's him calling me. And he's like, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, like, that was really great, wasn't it? Like, that was like a really fun conversation. I wasn't expecting, like, I just thought we'd have, like, you know, I'd come meet you and whatever, but I just felt like that was really great. And like, I'm so glad that your mom didn't bring you to the Freehold Mall to meet me when you were little. Like, I told him the story. He said, because that's not how we were supposed to meet. This is how we were supposed to meet. I'm like, yep, I knew it. I knew this is how, I knew it. And then he like knew it.
Wow.
Trippy.
Right?
What do you think? It was in a past lifetime. Let's get into it.
Well, like, I hope we were married. I hope we were married in a past life. Yeah, obviously. Oh, I have one more good story about another cool celebrity like that.
We have all the time in the world for you.
This is another good one because it's David Bowie.
Oh,
well,
rock.
Who we all know is a magical, mystical being, right? I mean, yes. There's no arguing.
You just went from Luke Perry to David Bowie.
Yes, this is Luke Perry, David
Bowie. Icons of our life.
I know. Believe me, I know. So I went to a David Bowie concert, and I was sitting not in the front row, but on the floor. But because I'm in a wheelchair, it's hard for me to see when everybody stands up when I'm on, you know, like on the floor. So the security guard for the last song was like, come to the front. You can come to the front. And all I wanted this whole concert was for David Bowie to sing my favorite song, which is Life on Mars. You know that one? It's a
good song. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Oh, it's my favorite too. So I'm like, please sing Life on Mars. So he didn't sing it. So I'm like, it's okay. I guess it's not, you know, Modern Love or something. I don't know. I guess he's not going to sing it. So I got up to the front row, and he's just about to sing, like, you know, he's like wrapping it up, and he's singing some song. I forgot which song he was singing. And I'm in the front now. I'm literally touching the stage, and he's not looking at me. And I'm like, how can he not notice me? I'm in a wheelchair. You know, I'm like, I'm right here on the corner. I'm not surrounded by anybody. I'm like, how can he not be looking at me? But he doesn't look at me. And he looks like he's about to look at me every time he starts walking toward the side of the stage where I was, and then he turns around and walks back. So I'm like, this is, come on, Bowie. I thought we had something here.
You weren't holding a Luke Perry poster, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Roncho.
Okay, just checking.
So then all of a sudden, he finishes whatever song he was singing, and then he's like, you know, he intros, okay, and this next song, blah, 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 whatever he says. And he takes a few, starts walking toward me, toward where I am by the stage, starts walking in my direction. And then he looks down directly at me, and he goes, it's a god-awful small affair. To the go with them, and he starts singing the beginning of Girl of Life on Mars into my eyes. Wow. In Madison Square Garden. And now there's no one else in the whole Madison Square Garden but me. Wow. And Bowie in this moment in time. And it was like you could feel, and it was like the way he was looking at me was like, I know you wanted me to sing this, like, here it is, this is for you. You know what I mean? It was like almost similar to the experience I had with the guy on the other side of, like, we don't need the words, like, we're just communicating through our heartstrings or something. I don't know what the worst. And he sang to me like the beginning of Life on Mars. And then, you know, he went out and sang the rest of the song to the rest of the thing. But that those few bars were just for me.
That is so beautiful.
I know.
Really? That is honestly the best story I've ever heard on this.
Right?
Right? That's so lying. Good.
And everyone knows Bowie is a magical. I mean, you can't deny.
Of course.
Yeah. God. He's an alien or something, right? For sure.
I'm almost like, back to your cry, we could take you now, but if you stay on Earth one day,
I know
Bowie,
yeah,
is gonna sing to you.
Christ,
that's pretty, yeah, great. That's, wow, pretty amazing.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to paranormal experience. Obviously, that's wild. I don't know what to do with the story after a story like that. That's just,
yeah,
I can't. Can, well, microcosm those... it down, microcosm it down, like, what did his eyes look like, what was that, like, break it down just a little bit longer for us before we move on, please.
Cause... well, it was just like, I mean, like I said, we were in Madison Square Garden, which is huge, and the like energy is palpable in a place like that. And it was another vacuum type feeling of, like, right when he looked at me, and I knew he was looking at me, like, we locked, yeah, eyes, and it was like another one of those, like, vacuum experiences where it's like just us in this moment, you know? And I don't remember what the lighting was like or whatever, but I know that I could only see David Bowie, and I knew David Bowie could only see me in this one moment in time.
He's got those powers, no doubt about it.
For sure.
Santina, that's more than most of us get in this life. I'm just, yeah, gonna
say. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I have a few more, but I'll save them. I have too many.
Come back. Please come back on the show. We'll talk. I mean, you're not leaving anywhere in this episode, right, soon, right, but, like, you're going to be back. Look, I might just bow out of co-hosting the show and have you step into my place. We need more. I mean, honestly, my guys, do you ever hear me stutter like this? I don't know what's happening. That's wild. I'm so starstruck by both Luke Perry and David Bowie. Santina, we have a game that we love to play with all of our guests. I'm going to go down a list of phenomena.
Okay.
And rapid fire style. And if you're open to it, you're going to say believe it. If you're not open to it, you're going to say bullshit. If you're somewhere in between or on the fence, you got to say one or the other. Okay.
Okay.
Just come down hard and we can come back and revisit any of the ones that you're like, no, now that we're done, I want to come back to this. We can do all that.
Okay.
This is a game that we call Bullshit
or Believe It.
All right, Santina Muha, on your mark, get set. Ghosts.
Believe it.
UFOs.
Believe it.
Bigfoot.
Bullshit.
ESP.
Believe it.
Shadow people.
Believe it.
Unicorns.
Bullshit.
Alien abductions.
Believe it.
Yeti.
Believe it.
Mothman.
Believe it.
Out of body experiences.
Believe it.
Tarot cards.
believe-ish.
Demonically possessed dolls.
Believe-ish.
The healing power of crystals.
Wait a minute. did you say believe-ish?
Yeah.
Is that like a cake mixture of both believe it and bullshit?
It's when I have to choose one.
If I'm gonna let anyone bend the rules, it's Santina, okay? She gazed in the eyes of Bowie as he sang Life on Mars.
Fair enough. I just want to make
sure
I heard it right.
She can play this game any way she wants. She is allowed. She's a queen.
I think crystals are kind of bullshit. Sorry. I have them, though.
An alien spacecraft crashed at Roswell.
Believe it.
Loch Ness Monster.
Bullshit.
Atlantis.
Believe it.
Haunted houses.
Believe it.
Skunk ape.
What?
Oh, well, you just unlocked the secret game within the game. Get ready, Bryce. The Jersey Devil.
Oh, I'm from New Jersey. Believe it.
I know. I wanted to talk about this with you. We'll circle back. The Biblical Devil.
Believe it.
Speaking to the Dead.
Believe it.
Mermaids.
Bullshit.
The government is hiding the truth about Sasquatch.
It.
About Sasquatch.
Oh, about everything. But yeah, Sasquatch. I don't. Yeah, believe it. Something.
Past
something.
Lives.
Believe.
Life on other planets.
Believe.
Life after death.
Believe it.
Life. On Mars.
Bowie, believe it.
Fantastic. Okay, let's circle back to the Jersey Devil, local cryptid. What do you know about the Jersey Devil? Just off the top of your head, tell us the history of the Jersey Devil. You don't have to be right or wrong. It's fine, but I'm very curious. I barely know.
I've never come across him. I think he's from a more southern region of Jersey than where I'm from.
Pine Barrens.
Or like a more, yeah. It's actually not too far from me. But, you know, I don't know. It's like this. It's why, like, with Yeti and Sasquatch and those things, like, I don't know exactly what he is. I'm sure there's some kind of creepy thing living in the woods.
Okay. That's a good starting point.
Yeah. We haven't done a Jersey Devil episode yet. I have.
What are you talking about? We've done Jersey Devil, haven't we?
No, we have not. But I have one in the back of my mind. How, like on a day to day basis, how often are people in New Jersey talking about the Jersey Devil?
Nah, it's like when you're a teenager, you know, it's about around the same time you discover Faces of Death or whatever that movie is.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
And Ouija boards. It's like, you know, we're all excited about it for, you know, 2 years of our lives. And then we kind of move on.
For those who don't know, I meant just to catch them up. Faces of Death was like this like video cassette series where actual recorded deaths, and then God, they were like, I remember seeing those in the video store with the skull and bones, and that was like a video cassette. You just were like, okay, I'll watch this and I'll watch that, but I don't know about all this.
Yeah.
Oh man, freaky.
It was
never
freaky.
Watch it, too scared.
Yeah,
I never saw it. Did you see it, Bryce?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah, I had to like rent it once or twice, and.
He came back. Yeah. Santina, you too scared or you were like, fuck,
no,
let's
I watched
do
it.
This.
Like I said, like I can watch that kind of stuff. I can watch someone, but I'm weird though. I'd rather watch someone get their arm chopped off than watch someone have like blood drawn. That's where I'm like, I don't know why.
Wow.
I get it. Okay. Well, Santina, I am pulling up my stopwatch because you unlocked a secret game within the game called 60 Seconds to Sell Skunk Ape, where Bryce is going to tell you what Skunk Ape is, and he has 60 seconds to get you to believe in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a big ask.
That's all he gets. 60 seconds to get your believing on Skunk Ape. Here we go. On your mark, get set, sell Skunk Ape.
Okay, well, you seem like the type of person who believes in old ladies, right? I mean, old ladies don't lie. Well, Skunk Ape is basically just Florida's Bigfoot. That's all. No more, no less. Florida's Bigfoot. Well, a while ago, an old lady saw something was taking apples from her backyard. So she goes out in her backyard at night with a camera and takes two photos. If you have a search bar near you, you could look up Myakka Skunk Ape, M-Y-A-K-K-A Skunk Ape.
Seconds.
And those are the two photos of this. It basically looks like Bigfoot hiding in the palmetto leaves. And that's it. Look, it's real. I've seen it. I know it exists. And you should too.
15 seconds.
And if you buy now, I'll throw in a pack of M&Ms. Peanut or plain, your choice.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
burn up the clock.
2, 1. Santina, before you say anything, Riley,
I don't
how
like
do you
this
think
game
Bryce
anymore.
Did on that? Riley, what's your assessment of where we're at?
I mean, if this call was recorded for, you know,
quality assurance,
I'd call you in for a review.
Yeah, this is the point in my sales career where I'd walk out and quit. I'd be like, I'm done. I had it. I don't want to sell
Bryce,
it anymore.
You wasted the first 15 seconds making a joke about whether or not she believes in old ladies. And like, that is valuable real estate, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I should have stayed on script, huh?
You left the final 10 seconds.
The script
seconds
exists for a
silent.
Reason,
right.
Bryce. You stick to the script,
right,
okay?
You didn't even get the photos out.
Yeah,
what the
I
fuck
know.
Are you doing, dude?
I don't like this game anymore. I don't want
to
sell Skunk
You
Ape
have
anymore.
To play it. Santina, we got to ask you, Skunk Ape, do you buy it?
No. I'm sorry. No.
Bryce,
no. I'm so sorry.
Bryce, no, it is absolutely not your fault.
It sounds like some kind of somebody either escaped from a zoo or Disney World in a costume.
Possibly. Yeah. Bryce, what? Please come see Riley and me at BCC headquarters.
I know.
Monday,
I even lied on
first
that
thing
one. Like, I've seen it. I know it's real. Total lie.
You are up for peer review, my friend. I am telling you.
Can I go off first?
Riley could sell this shit better than you. Absolutely. Yeah. At this point. 100%. All right. Santina,
I don't
I
know.
Apologize.
You remember my one attempt at it? It was not.
Oh,
good.
That's true. You really, your nerves got the best of you.
If there was a worse performance, it was that one.
But it was charming the way you melted down. But all right, guys, we got to move some Skunk Apes, and we are not, it's not working. Santina, I apologize. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for High Strangeness with Santina Muha. All right, everybody, we're back with Santina Muha. It's time for this week's story of high strangeness. And of course, I think I failed to mention it. I don't know. It is Wet Hot Alien Summer 2, Summer Abduction, all summer long. So, Santina, this summer we are talking about stories of high strangeness involving UFOs, aliens, UAPs, alien abductions, anything that might come from another planet or another dimension and put you in a weird spacecraft. Or maybe you just see some weird lights. Have you ever seen any UFOs, Santina?
You know, I have this like weird memory of waking up during a surgery once. And then when I watched one of, I can't remember which movie, I think it was Communion.
Yes.
You know, that, the one with the, yeah. When I watched that, it made me feel like maybe... Did I wake up during surgery or I think it was a surgery, but there's a chance that I was an abduction.
Wow.
Small chance.
But
I believe it all.
I believe it too. And also most abductions involve operation tables. So maybe you scheduled your surgery at a UFO and didn't realize it was in a hospital.
Yeah, maybe.
Possible. Speaking of Communion, I've been meaning to bring this up. Do you guys know about the Wilford Brimley line?
No.
This is something. This is something that's been going around my circle of friends on a close friend text thread. So when Cocoon was released in theaters on June 21st, 1985, Wilford Brimley who played an old man in that movie.
He was great.
He was 50 years old.
Oh, what?
Yes. He was 50 what? Years, 9 months, and 6 days old. So cross the Brimley Cocoon line on the day that you hit 18,530 days. And like Tom Cruise recently crossed the Wilford Brimley line. Like if you Google Wilford Brimley line, it's shot like Luke Perry has crossed the Wilford Brimley line.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it is wild how young he was when he was in that movie.
That's insane.
Yeah, so we should all keep track of when we cross the Wilford Brimley line, because it's sooner than you might imagine. All right, everybody, let's get into tonight's story of high strangeness. Now, look, kids, I promised you a UFO story, and baby, oh, baby, did I bring you one. This story is, I'm going to jump right into it, the Todd Moden UFO incident. The Pennine Hills of Great Britain, stretching across northern England, have been called the backbone of England. This scenic range is the host of several moorlands, natural wonders, and stone circles. As a matter of fact, Ilkley Moor, the location of the fabled alien of Ilkley Moor photograph, which we discussed many episodes ago, is located in this area. And as legend has it, the Ilkley Moor alien isn't the only extraterrestrial to visit these fabled lands, which are well known for their strange lights and UFO sightings. The year was 1980, and it was decidedly not summer. It was November 28th. It was wet, however, a rainy night outside Todmorden, West Yorkshire. A police constable named Alan Godfrey was out driving around searching for a wandering herd of escaped cattle that had been reported in the area. Dawn approached and the nomadic bovines remained elusive, so PC Godfrey decided to retire the search. As he was driving towards his town, he suddenly saw a bright, brilliant light over the road several hundred yards past the police station. As he approached the object, he encountered something he hasn't been able to explain in the following 40 years. A diamond-shaped craft about 20 feet long and 14 feet wide was hovering 6 feet over the road. The flushed diamond-tipped base was spinning anti-clockwise, as Godfrey later noted in a sketch, and it had a row of panels encircling the top third portion of the craft. The object appeared to be a solid nuts-and-bolts craft. Godfrey recalled the incident in 2020, telling the infamous Sun newspaper,
"I thought it was a bus at first. I remembered I'd already passed the early morning service, and as I got near it, very clearly looked nothing like a bus. It was completely blocking the main road, a huge metal object hanging in the air about 5 feet off the ground. It was diamond-shaped, about 20 feet wide and 14 feet high, and what appeared to be dark paneling across the upper top third. My headlights were shining off the side, and I'd gotten out of the car and thrown a brick at it. It would have gone bang."
So this poor guy, this cop is like called out to find some cows. Like he's driving around in the rain at night, and instead of cows, he finds a UFO. The spinning motion of the base caused wet leaves to dance about the road beneath it. After gawking at the heavenly vehicle for a moment, Godfrey did what any upstanding English policeman would do. He politely turned on his hazards and his flashing blue lights and radioed to headquarters for backup. However, something was going on with the radio, and Godfrey could not make contact, at least with not any extraterrestrial, with any, fuck, I fucked up my own joke. Riley, cut this part.
I won't, but try it again.
However, something was going on with the radio, and Godfrey couldn't make contact, at least with not any terrestrials. With the radio malfunctioning, Godfrey decided to pull out his notepad and make a sketch of the object when suddenly he was blinded by a bright white light. Now, I want to do something a little unconventional here and take this moment to flash back to 5 months earlier. It's June 1980. On June 9th, P.C. Godfrey had been working on the case of a missing Polish-born miner from Lofthouse Colliery in Tingley, West Yorkshire. Maybe it's pronounced Tingley. I'm not sure. Anyway, a 56-year-old man named Zygmunt Adamski went missing. He'd seemingly vanished on June 5th while shopping for groceries. 5 days had passed since Adamski's disappearance when his body suddenly appeared on top of a 15-foot-tall coal pile. Godfrey found Adamski's body, still wearing the suit he was wearing when he vanished, but the body was missing his shirt, his wallet, his keys, and his watch. Sounds like a robbery or a murder, right, Santina?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his remaining clothing was buttoned all askew, and strangely, his hair had been sloppily cut short. Adamski had been gone for 5 days, yet his beard only showed 1 day's worth of growth. Curiouser still, more curiously, there were burn marks on Adamski's shoulders and neck that were smeared with a strange ointment that could not be identified in scientific laboratories. In an interview with Yorkshire Live years later, Godfrey described discovering the body.
Those eyes were staring up at me. I was looking down on him from a foot away. Those eyes sent a shudder down my spine. They were wide open. He had a look of someone who's had been something or someone had scared him to death.
The coroner who examined Adamski's body, James Turnbull, told the BBC in 2003 that the murder had remained the biggest mystery of his career. While he remained skeptical of any paranormal involvement, he did state,
"The question of where he was before he died and what led to his death just could not be answered."
Now, this might be a tragic coincidence, but the mysterious circumstances surrounding the unsolved killing of Adamski has led to many UFO theorists wondering if Ziggy, as he was known to his friends and family, had been abducted by aliens. This incident had took place, after all, in an area sometimes referred to as UFO Alley, especially considering his connection with Godfrey, who had just been zapped by a UFO. So, okay, back to the wee hours of November 28th. As the blinding light surrounding Godfrey faded, he regained his vision to discover that he was sitting in his car 100 yards down the road from where he engaged the UFO. And not only that, but about 30 minutes had passed. There was a hole in Godfrey's boot, and he later discovered a strange, red, itchy burn mark on his foot. Godfrey drove back to where he'd seen the diamond-shaped craft, got out of the car, examined the area, and beneath where the UFO had hovered, the rain-trodden ground was bone dry, and the leaves and twigs had been scattered in a spiral pattern. Godfrey rushed back to the police station where he reported the incident to his superiors. It wasn't long before word got around the department that Godfrey had a close encounter. Snickering and teasing ensued, and Godfrey's peers started calling him Captain Kirk. However, the day after the incident, his superior told him that other officers searching for stolen motorcycles in nearby Halifax had reported seeing strange steel blue lights in the night sky in the pre-dawn hours earlier that week. Officers in Littleborough and one other witness in Clivager reported that they saw strange lights as well. And a bus driver claimed to have seen the same UFO as Godfrey on the very night that he encountered the strange diamond object. PC Godfrey's story made headlines, further pushing him into the spotlight for scrutiny and skepticism. A lawyer by the name of Harry Harris, also a UFO investigator, encouraged Godfrey to undergo hypnotic regression, during which Godfrey was videotaped and was revealed to recount a very strange abduction experience. Under hypnosis, Godfrey said, recalled being transported by a beam of light into the craft where he met a bearded, human-looking alien named Joseph and small, childlike, robotic creatures with large heads who performed experiments on him. Like so many UFO eyewitnesses, PC Godfrey's experience led to frustration and turmoil. His police career soon came to an end and was forced out of Todmorden and transferred to another department. Godfrey claims that after attempts by his superiors to put him in a mental institution failed, he was forced into early retirement. He still gives lectures about the experience at UFO conferences, but remains skeptical about what happened under his hypnotic regression because he still has no memory of what took place during the missing time. Just like a true policeman, just the facts, man. As for the events immediately before or after, Godfrey has been consistent and certain about what took place. He saw that craft. Sadly, he has this to say about the entire event.
I wish I'd never seen the UFO, particularly because of the effects on my children. It's not easy having a policeman as a father, but when he's a policeman who saw a UFO, well, it's even worse.
And that is a strange case of Alan Godfrey and the Todmorden UFO incident. Guys, go easy on those UFO abductees, okay? Santina?
Well told.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Thank you, Riley. What the hell is that, Santina?
That was just very spooky. I believe him.
There you go.
I do too. And I appreciate, honestly, researching this story. It was really hard to get more details about Joseph and these robotic aliens because Godfrey's like, I saw the tape. I saw what I said. I don't like it. You know what I mean? And he's I can't remember that consciously. So maybe that was a dream, but I'm sure that I saw this thing and I remember what happened before and after, but I love that he can't tell you. I definitely met an alien named Joseph and some robots. You know what I mean? But it's, you know, if we go as far to up to the line as there was a diamond shaped UFO, then why not? Right?
Yeah, dude.
Well, it's weird because it almost sounded like when I was telling my story at the beginning of this, where it's like you just remember these pieces and, you know, he kind of got like sucked into this thing and then he was there and he doesn't. I mean, and when you were describing the like figures, it was like, it's like these things that you can't articulate. You can only compare them to what we already know, but you know, it'd be like trying to describe a color that no one has ever seen. It's like, what is your point of reference? You can only say it's like less than purple, but more than blue, you know, like what, but you could never really say what it is because we don't have a point of reference. So, you know, it kind of feels like maybe that's what was happening where it's like, he couldn't really explain it. And this guy doesn't seem like he was trying to get a lot of followers or whatever,
no.
You know, version of it, you know, it wasn't that like,
no,
it doesn't seem like he wanted this attention.
No. And again, it backfired on his career. Even his superiors like, yeah, we had some reports, and they're still like, you're still nuts. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he was, from everything that I saw, he was a like upstanding, like sensible, skeptical guy, you know, and but he has sworn to the day that he saw what he saw, but he still isn't sure what he saw. And in fact, when he drove up, he thought, well, it's a turned over bus. They must have found the cattle or the cows that I'm looking for across the road, and they swerved. You know, he was thinking all the rational shit up to within the context of like the mission he was on, until he was like, wait, there's a fucking floating diamond in that's taking up the middle of the road. And then in one version that was televised, a British show, I can't remember what it's called. I'll find it. I'll put it up on as a link. You know, I didn't see this anywhere but in this show, so I take it with a grain of salt. But allegedly, he drove his commanding officer or the superior back out to the spot, who saw the dried circle in the road where the UFO had been hovering. And then they found, according to this TV show, they found the cattle like all grouped together in a pen that could only have gotten in from like a distant gate, you know, and they were like, how did all these cows get back in here? You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a wild, wild story. And it's a very famous UFO abduction case or close encounter case in England, at any rate. Bryce?
It happens. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Every day.
Happens all the time.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible things happen to, you know.
Well, I mean, who would we... it's impossible that we're the only people on this whole giant world, right? Who do we think we are? What a waste of space.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah. I had a weird thought, and Santina, you kind of backed it up by bringing it back to your personal paranormal history. I had a moment watching the reenactment of this and researching, where I thought, guys, back me up here. So Santina, we've been trying to look at aliens and UFOs as maybe something that's interdimensional or hyperdimensional. And maybe aren't these like spacecrafts that come from other planets and then enter our atmosphere and hover around. So I started to think, like, you know, all these stories are very similar. Bright white light, weird craft, bright white light. I'm sucked in. I go to a place. I'm operated on. I'm spit back out. What do all three of you think about this idea of, what if the UFO is not actually a spacecraft, but it is literally a portal that appears? And the portal, it's a doorway that looks like a flying saucer, or it looks like a diamond-shaped craft. And that doorway, instead of being stationary, has the ability to zip and zoom all around our physics in our three-dimensional space, because it's coming from a dimension outside of our own.
And I like that.
That when we walk into that craft, we're actually walking through a portal that takes us to a common space, another dimension where these common experiences take place, these operations, these contact with smaller humanoids, these religious experiences. You know what I mean? That maybe all these UFOs are just doors to a larger house that exists just beyond reach. And
I like it.
You know what I mean?
I do. I love it. That's a new theory. Hey, there you go, man. Only took 164 shows. No, I think that I love that idea. I love any sort of hypothesis that's outside the box.
Because if you think about it, our doors in our reality tend to be two-dimensional, right? They're just a two-dimensional rectangle. So a doorway to a higher dimension would be three-dimensional, right? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not even high right now, but I should be. Yeah.
You have these guys or gals that get, you know, let's say abducted, and they, when they first describe the craft, it's relatively small, like you said on this one, or Constable Godfrey did, like 16 feet, 14 feet high,
20 feet tall, 14 feet wide.
There you go.
That's a big car.
But then when they get in the craft, there's like an operating room, there's hallways, there's different rooms. It's mm-hmm. like there's no way that the space makes sense.
Exactly.
So I like that theory. I like that theory very much. You know, it goes against the sort of the Bob Lazar sports model UFO where there's just three little seats in the craft and, you know, they have to be piloted by these, you know, conscious beings. But I like it, Michael. I think you're onto something.
But maybe some of them are spacecrafts that are piloted, and then maybe some of them are like extra dimensional doorways, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Santino, we've been doing this for so long. We're really trying to figure it out.
Listen, I buy it. I think that's good. And I think that that maybe explains why it's so hard to get a picture or, you know, of this thing, because it's not maybe a physical thing, you know, mm-hmm. maybe not everybody can see it. You know, just like how sometimes there's a ghost in a picture, but like, you know, not everybody can see it when it's being taken. It checks out.
Yeah. Well done, Michael. Well done.
Well, I think I figured out UFOs. All right, guys. Hey. I think that wraps up another episode. Santina, we don't know where to find Joseph the alien, but where can people find you?
On Instagram at Santina Muha, or at Twitter, it's all at Santina Muha, SANTINAMUHA.
Fantastic. Any fun cool. stuff to plug, or are we all still living in the one-dimensional realm of the pandemic?
Well, I'm writing a book. I'm writing a collection of essays, memoir, and the Luke Perry story is in there, so you'll have a lot more background there and some other stuff, and the David Bowie, because I talk about some concerts and things. So and many other stories are in there from my life. So I'm excited about that.
I mean, based on the 30 minute glimpse we got into your history, that's going to
be
one hell
of a book.
Yeah. One hell of a book for sure. And we listen, if we need to like petition, I don't know where you and Luke are these days, but he's got to write the foreword to that book. So
well,
I will.
Do you, Michael, he's passed.
He's passed away, Mike.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well,
do you remember? He had a stroke early. And by the way, so has Bowie, also before his time. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, these are special people. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, if anyone can get a foreword written from the other side, I think it's you, Santino. Let's make it happen.
Good point. Yeah.
We'll make it happen. Apologies to Luke Perry. I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, because it was so sudden. It's weird. It was weird.
That's God, man. I like literally chills went up. Chills of embarrassment and shock ran through my body when you reminded me. Guys, anything to plug?
Not really. Just, you know, the good old Patreon. The other side.
Yeah,
lots of fun episodes, good times, many hours of enjoyment. You'll love it. You're here. You're at this point of the episode. Just keep it going. You know, just binge away,
guys. What's up with this 4.8 stars on Apple Podcasts? What the fuck is happening? Get us out of that hole. I am embarrassed to be doing this podcast right now. But you can follow us at Bigfoot Pod on Instagram or on Twitter at Bigfoot Collectors Club on Instagram. This is why. It's my fault. I've knocked us down 0.2%. Follow me at McMills on Instagram and Twitter. Bryce, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Mr. Bryce Johnson and on Twitter at Bryce O. Johnson. Follow me there. And hey, check out our merch. Our merch is so good right now. Check out the merch store in the link tree.
Yep, absolutely. Riley, where can people look at your beautiful face?
They can look at it on Instagram at Peace Drone. And especially the Ultimate Champion t-shirt. Really excited about that, and I have a mug.
Ordered that
guys,
on the way.
Also, by the way, get it while it's
hot. You got the mug too.
Nice. Get it while it's hot. I don't know if Universal's going to shut us down, so who knows? It might be copyright infringement. We'll find out. Santino Muha, thank you so much for being on the show. We are going to buy that book. Come back on the show when that book is out, and we'll do some listener stories with you and get some more stories of your own. How's that sound?
Great. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Thank
you. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Until next episode, good night.
And go get regressed.
All right. Woo!
Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.